Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, 7 and 8, and 24 through 30. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Like I said earlier, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Liz Walker, and I'm honored to be your 2019 lay leader and to be sharing this message with you today on this Laity Sunday. For those of you who do know me, you're not going to be surprised when most of my material today comes from my BFF Priscilla Shire's Armor of God Bible Study and Discerning the Voice of God book. You also know I'm a teacher, and it's going to be no shock to you that I've prepared a PowerPoint. Feel free to take notes, but I promise there's no quiz at the end. The past few weeks, the pastors have been sharing about how the armor, or as we're calling it, the under armor of God, protects our head and our heart. Like Paul, when he was writing to the Ephesians, he chose the armor of a Roman soldier as his image of the armor of God, because that's what he was most familiar with, being locked in a Roman prison, and he also knew it was a familiar and effective image for his audience as well. So we've adapted it to the under armor of God, because living in Alabama, it's safe to say we know a little bit about sports and under armor apparel. We must protect this house, after all, and the armor of God is the way to do it. The past few weeks, we've been putting on our uniform. Today, I have the privilege of sharing with you about being good stewards with our hands as we discuss the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and how that relates to our uniform we've put on so far in this sermon series. Now that we have our helmet, belt, and pads on, we are ready for the game. We are ready for action. It's time to take up our shield of faith. In Ephesians 6:16, it says, "In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Yes, we've heard that before. We talk about the armor of God all the time. I want to do that. But what does it actually mean to take up the shield of faith? I'm so glad you asked. Let's start with the shield itself. Paul's not talking about the shiny metal trash can lid you used as a kid. He's talking about a larger shield, almost shaped like a door, with planks of wood stuck together. These shields had several protective layers on top of the wood and could cover the whole body of a soldier if he crouched down. We're talking, if you're the quarterback or the running back, you're getting to run behind a 350-pound offensive lineman. You are protected. Well, that is if you're truly prepared and lined up and ready for the play to start. So how do we know when to snap the ball? How do we use this shield of faith? That's where the faith comes in. We must act. Faith is action. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Faith without works is useless, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. You don't win the ball game by simply putting on your Under Armour. Even if it's just for 1 second, you must act to win the game. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith requires risk, but it also requires wisdom. Sometimes we must take a time out before a big play or before we try something risky. Definitely want to avoid that sack or tackle for loss. We've got to confirm before stepping out in faith, or we might be stepping out in foolishness. If you've been an Auburn fan your whole life like me, I know you know what I'm talking about here. So, how do we know the difference, though? Because there's such a fine line between risk and wisdom when it comes to faith. How do we know that's what God is telling us to do? Because if He's calling us to it, He will get us through it. But how do we hear the call? I don't know about you, but I haven't seen too many burning bushes in my day. And, you know, I used to be jealous of Moses and his burning bush, but then I realized what we have is even better. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And my BFF, Priscilla, has 5 simple guidelines for us to be sure we are hearing our spirit-led conscience accurately. She calls them the 5 M's. Number 1, look for the message of the Spirit. Listen and pay attention to the Holy Spirit within. It's even better than the burning bush because it's in us. Number 2, live in the mode of prayer. Take what you hear and direct it back to God. Turn your worry into worship. Number 3, search out the model of Scripture. Immerse yourself in God's Word. The better you know God, the more clearly you hear God. Seek Him, stay in His Word, and keep an intimate relationship with Him. Does what you're hearing contradict what it says in God's Word? If so, it's not God. Number 4, submit to the ministry of Eli. Do you have an Eli? Do you have a mature and patient believer who can give you wise biblical counsel to mirror what you think you've been hearing? And number 5, expect the mercy of confirmation. Ask God to confirm what you're hearing and look for circumstances, scripture, and others to confirm His directions for you. He will reveal to you what He wants you to do. Then once God speaks, our immediate response should be obedience. We've received the play call from the booth. Now let's make it happen. Unfortunately, though, sometimes we have a lapse in communication. The play doesn't develop correctly, or a defensive back shifts left or right to distract us, and back in Paul's day, fiery arrows were shot towards the soldiers to distract them. The Holy Spirit is trying to communicate with our body to get it moving in the correct direction, in this specific case, our hands, but there's something blocking the communication. That something is strongholds. If you look at our concentric circles visual here, you will see the Holy Spirit is at the center. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells in us. The next circle is our soul. It houses our head, our heart, our emotions, conscience, things like that. That's the circle we've been working in over the past few weeks when the pastors have been preaching about the head and the heart. Today, what we're trying to do is we're trying to connect what the Holy Spirit is guiding us to do with our body, that outer circle, our hands specifically. Unfortunately, though, sometimes we work with the enemy on building up brick walls or strongholds in that middle circle. Strongholds are spiritual barricades that keep the voice of God from reaching our spiritual ears. Strongholds are things like worry, fear, unforgiveness, pride, doubt. So how do we demolish these strongholds? Well, spiritual strongholds can only be conquered with spiritual weapons. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The weapon Paul is referring to here is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This sword we're talking about is not a broadsword. This sword is a dagger, ready to be used in hand-to-hand combat against the enemy you're working with when you build up those strongholds. I once knew a young woman. She was in her mid to late 20s. She was a good girl, loved her mama, loved Jesus and America too. You know who I'm talking about. You picked her in your mind, okay? She, however, was not growing spiritually and was not taking action to grow spiritually. She was complacent, and we all know what happens in a game if our offense gets complacent. So what was hindering her from moving forward? Well, she had been dealing with the enemy and had some walls built up, blocking her communication and ability to move. She was acting out of a spirit of fear or out of the flesh, and neither one of those led to moving forward in faith. She resented her brother for his expensive education and all he always got and wasted. She was addicted to food and ate all of her emotions, even the good ones. She harbored unforgiveness towards her father because of a nasty divorce. She was angry with her father because he chose someone else over her. She felt shame, guilt for her past decisions, and she would have to rationalize to make herself feel better. She was a perfectionist. She couldn't handle anything less than 100%, whether it was at work or with her children. She even had A-plus blood working against her. She was too proud to ask for help. She was paralyzed by the fear of failure and the fear of the future. She was a control freak who was so worried that she sometimes couldn't even breathe in traffic. She would never take a risk and couldn't decipher what was communicated by God because of all these bricks blocking the way. Can anybody relate? I know you can't really see me because I'm blocked by the bricks. You don't have to raise your hand, okay? I'm not condemning anyone either because that's just another tactic of the enemy. But if you're feeling convicted right now and you have that burning in the pit of your stomach, you're in the right place because God has a way to combat these lies and demolish these strongholds, just like he did for this young woman. When you think about the roll call of faith that was shared earlier, you repeatedly see broken, ordinary people putting their faith in an invisible, extraordinary God. Whether God's voice was audible, in a dream, shared through a prophet, whichever, they listened and followed. And God was able to use them to do extraordinary things. Just like these Hall of Faith heroes, the young woman I'm talking about has had a few verses to add to her own Roll Call of Faith chapter. Just like Abraham, Moses, Rahab, because of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and stepping out in faith after being confirmed through her five M's, here's what her current verses would look like if they were added to the roll call of faith. By faith, in conjunction with the sword of the Spirit, she demolished the stronghold of anxiety and worry. When her stronghold said, "Worry, fear tomorrow," the word said, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." By faith, in conjunction with the sword of the Spirit, she demolished the stronghold of fear of failure. She stepped out in faith and applied, interviewed, and got that new job. When her stronghold paralyzed her from moving forward, the word said, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." By faith, in conjunction with the sword of the Spirit, she demolished the stronghold of perfectionism. When her stronghold said she had to be perfect, The word said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." By faith, she was freed from the stronghold of shame and guilt. For it is by grace that she had been saved through faith. And this is not from herself, it is the gift of God. By faith, her deep-seated anger disappeared because everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. By faith, she forgave her father. Her stronghold said he deserved to be punished. But the word said, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." By faith, she's overcoming her food addiction. When the enemy says, "That brownie will make you feel better," Jesus declares, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." By faith, her resentment and bitterness towards her brother turned to compassion and grace. When the enemy said, "Cut him out," the word said, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." By faith and confirmation, she stepped out and agreed to be your 2019 lay leader. And she now stands here before you, 34 years old, a recovering perfectionist who now seeks progress over perfection, a broken, ordinary person in desperate need of a savior, free from the bondage of her mid-late 20s strongholds, and can proudly and honestly profess these lyrics to her favorite song. "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior." What will your verses look like in the roll call of faith? How can we as a church write out our chapter together next year? This fall, we will fill out our pledge cards, and when we do, not only do I challenge you to continue to consider being good stewards with your finances, but with your hands as well. When we think about pledging, it's more than our money. It's our time and action to fulfill God's purposes for our church. What is God calling you to do as a member of First United Methodist Church Alabaster? Can you even hear him calling? If not, what strongholds might be blocking your divine reception? Now is as good a time as any to pinpoint any strongholds you may have built up, and then strategically and specifically target them with the sword of the Spirit. Strategic and specific scripture to tear them down. What gifts do you have to bring into action next year? Just like a football team needs a quarterback, a kicker, a center, etc., we too need a variety of gifts, talents, and skill sets to accomplish the work of His kingdom right here in Alabaster. What is God calling you to do? Somebody's calling somebody right now. I appreciate the sound effects for effect. If the Spirit is leading you and the Scripture confirms it, then what's stopping you? Let's all vow to put on our under armor of God and get ready for the big game and the best year First United Methodist Church of Alabaster has had yet. I know I will. Will you? Thank you. Thank you. Will you pray with me? God, you are a good and faithful God. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share your message today. Thank you for giving us your armor, especially the shield of faith and sword of the Spirit. I pray we, as your church, put this armor to use as we advance forward in your will and for your purposes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.